once an ugly green caterpillar. Hi, I'm Josiah Wade, and this is the Ohio Outdoor Notebook. The Cecropia is rarely seen because it flies only at night, which is a shame because its coloration is remarkable. Dark brown wings are decorated with white flecks, red crescents, black eye spots, and red and tan bands. The body and head appear to be furry and have red, black, and white stripes. The legs are red, and the males have large, red, feathery antennae. Cecropia moths come out of their cocoons in late May or early June. They live about 2 weeks, and in that time, they find a mate, and the female lays more than 100 eggs. This is a public service of the Ohio Department of Natural Resources and this station.
The following program is brought to you in living color.
Plastic.
Strawberry.
こちらは WMFO Medford 91.5 FM.
A luscious bitch, she is true. But it's not nice to fool Mother Nature. The proud mother of God, like all hoes, is jealous of her own shadow. Who is this young big catty bitch who wished to be queen for a day? Who would sacrifice the great grandsons and daughters of her jealous mother by sucking their brains?
Oh, I got something.
Come on now, goddamn. Come on, can you punch me in or something? Come on, let me finish this. What's that? I'll take it, man. I'll do that. Okay, I'll say this. I'll just be really serious. It's a gross motherfucker. Come on, Ray.
A luscious bitch, she is true. But it's not nice to fool Mother Nature. The proud mother of God, like all hoes, is jealous of her own shadow. Who is this young Britannic bitch who wished to be queen for a day? Who would sacrifice the great-grandsons and daughters of her jealous mother by sucking their brain until their ability to think was amputated, by pimping their instincts until they were fat, horny, and strung out? In her neurotic attempt to be queen of the universe, who is this bitch?
Oh,
Tonight, here on the Plastic Sushi Strawberries in Time Sound Collage, we are celebrating the fall colors. And we began the set with Gantati, a Japanese kind of jazz duo, a track called Green Mailbox. And I overlaid some excerpts from a speech by Martin Luther King Jr. And then we heard from the Blue Rider Trio and Black Betty from their Harp, Steel, and Guts album. And then my special Plastic Sushi Angela remix of the hardcore vocal mix of New Order's Blue Monday. And that's the last, hopefully, we'll hear of Angela this evening. And then Johnny Winter, White Line Blues, kind of hit our colors theme in a couple of ways right there. And then a public service message about colorful Cecropia moths from Josiah Wade and the Ohio Outdoor Notebook. And then Funkadelic with Red Hot Mama. And I researched Bootsy Collins a bit. I'm definitely a fan of his. And you know, the whole Funkadelic Parliament kind of thing and what they were doing. I realized that if Jimi Hendrix wouldn't have died at age 37, there were all sorts of things that he was exploring musically, like jazz was one of them. But Bootsy Collins and the Funkadelic guys and George Clinton, they love Jimi Hendrix. And in a certain way, they have just as much right to be considered the people who took up the helm of what he was doing and it advanced it further. I mean, Jimi Hendrix could have been playing with those guys and going off in that funk music direction. And, well, I guess what I just want to say is it's all great music. And it's also very cool that there's so much of it that's been recorded. And we can just go and buy compilation albums with, you know, greatest funkin' hits and that. And it's not like, gee, I remember waiting for new albums to come out, like a Kraftwerk album, going to the record store every week asking, is the new Kraftwerk album in? No, not yet, but we've heard it's supposed to be in really soon, and this going on for like months. Yes, back in the 1980s. For me. So backing me up right now is Billy May and Cherry Blossom White and Apple Pink. I get confused about this one. Cherry Pink and Apple Blossom White. Yes, that is the name of this wonderful song with glissando. Definitely a sliding and a gliding kind of song musically. So I'm a bit of a community activist in my West Somerville neighborhood. I'm one of the co-founders, and I'm on a current board member of the West Somerville Neighborhood Association. Online at westsomerville.org. Although I apologize, the website's not incredibly current. But I, one of the things that we're really concerned about is whether Tufts University pays its fair share. And, well, I wrote an op-ed piece that was published this Thursday in the Tufts Daily newspaper. And, well, let me give them a shout-out for doing just a great job. They're an outstanding source of information for those of us living around Tufts. And for all of us, in fact, in the Tufts community. Because, yeah, I'm definitely a member of the Tufts community. And, well, why don't I read you the piece? So basically, municipal governments usually fund the services they provide through taxes, and Tufts host cities of Somerville and Medford raise the major portion of their budgets through real estate taxes. Due to a controversial Massachusetts law, nonprofit organizations are not required to pay property taxes to the communities they reside in. Instead, the municipalities must raise the required money in other ways, including asking the exempt institutions they host for voluntary payments in lieu of taxes, also known as pilots. Tufts has had two pilot agreements with Somerville and Medford over the years. For Somerville, the first 10-year agreement gave $100,000 annual, while the most recent 5-year agreement, which expired on June 30th, provided $275,000 annually. This is approximately 4% of the real estate taxes that would normally be due. The city of Boston, on the other hand, implements a generally successful pilot program, and Boston requests that nonprofits make voluntary pilot contributions equal to 25% of the real estate taxes they would otherwise pay, half of that in cash and half in services. And while there's wide variability in compliance among the institutions, Tufts pays Boston this full amount for the downtown campus. So with negotiations coming up between Tufts and its main campus host communities on the next pilot agreement, a coalition of citizens from groups including the West Somerville Neighborhood Association, Our Revolution Somerville, and Our Revolution Medford has met a number of times to study and discuss the situation. Yes, many times I've been to those meetings. And we've come to the conclusion that the only fair arrangement going forward is parity with the pilot terms Boston and that Tufts has voluntarily agreed to with the city of Boston. And then, you know, on May 23rd, before the expiration of the most recent agreement, members of our coalition had a standing room only meeting with the Tufts directors of community relations, Barbara Rubel and Rocco DiRico, to present our views and request that Tufts provide Boston pilot parity in the next Medford and Somerville agreements. And you know what? It's eminently fair to give Medford and Somerville the same deal as Boston. If anything, shouldn't Tufts feel an even closer relationship with the communities on which its main campus resides rather than with the city of Boston downtown? I don't need to explain how beneficial and intrinsic the location of the Medford-Somerville campus is to the Tufts experience. There are plenty of admissions office publications that do that very well. All these glossy photos of, you know, the campus and then out over there further in the distance, downtown Boston. Yeah, they get lots of people, lots of students to come here because that's an incredibly good attraction. So while Massachusetts' richest city of Weston certainly has better resources to support a tax-exempt institution, how many students would want to attend a Tufts located out there in the Boston suburbs? Many of us Somerville and Medford citizens appreciate the positive aspects of hosting Tufts in our cities, like having radio shows, and we're willing to pay some extra taxes to support the university as a contributing member of our communities, and also participate in the annual WMFO donations drive, I might add, too. But, you know, our own taxes and living expenses keep going up, and some of that is tied directly to Tufts' growths. In particular, the administration's policy of annually increasing student enrollment without building any new on-campus dormitories, well, that's had a dramatic effect on housing prices in the surrounding neighborhood. And that, in turn, cascades into increased individual real estate taxes. So we get just, like, slapped in the wallet or extracted from the wallet over and over again. No matter what, Somerville and Medford citizens will be paying more money than they otherwise would if the Tufts campus was somehow magically teleported to Weston and replaced with solid tax-paying homes and businesses. Our coalition's request for pilot parity still represents a 75% discount off of the otherwise due property taxes. Pilot parity for Somerville and Medford is an issue like paying workers a living wage. While it's true Tufts isn't legally obligated to do so, the university should treat those it depends on fairly because it's consistent with the values that Tufts says it holds dear and promotes in its own community. And because it's the right thing to do. And that's my opinion. I'm Edward Bukert. And now, which you can find that if you wanted to, say, read it perhaps, by going to the Tufts Daily. And it's there's links up at the top for the art features, news, and opinion. And if you click on that opinion link, you'll come to it pretty quick. The other thing I wanted to mention is I've written some other pieces for the Tufts Daily in the past. And this was the first time they got back to me. They came back to me before it was published, and they asked me to cite sources. 13 of them. Well, actually 15, but I sort of bargained down that two of them were, in fact, tautological truths, I said. That, you know, the 75% discount off of the... that asking for 25% represents a 75% discount. That's just math. But there were 13 sources that I cited on the web. And first, I'll admit I was a little bit perturbed, like, why do I have to cite my sources? Don't you believe me? But I would have to admit that in this era of fake news, that's a great thing. And in the end, I really appreciated that. And tracking down all those sources to be able to provide the links, like in the online version. Well, that's a great thing. And you, the reader, just needs to click on that and you can get directly to the PDFs for those agreements. Like I mentioned this to somebody I was going out swimming with in the Mystic Lakes there. And while he had some ideas that were different, and I was very glad to be able to say, well, actually, I just read the PDF document agreement and what it actually says. And, you know, that's a fact and not an opinion. So in any case, thanks to the Tufts Daily for letting me express my opinion, and WMFO for also letting me express my opinion here. So let's not quite get back to the music, but have another sort of cultural community-oriented report here. Here is Chuck Yu with his report on last weekend's wonderful Honk Fest in Davis Square and other parts of Somerville and Cambridge.
Novo Brazil, a percussion band from, well, Brazil, were the first band to kick off the Honk Festival at Statue Park in Davis Square on Saturday. They were one of seven different street bands playing concurrently at different locations within the three-block radius of this corner of Somerville. This was the 13th annual Honk Festival, which started here in Somerville, but has now spread not only around the country, but indeed the world. The concept is simple: activist street bands bringing joyous music to issues of social justice. Politics does play a big role in the event. At the opening ceremony, Lance Davis, an alderman from the city of Somerville, drove home this point.
My ask of you is that you don't just go home after the parade tomorrow and feel good about yourself because of how many times that you retweeted Mark Hamill while listening to Pod Save America. Okay? Go out and take action. All right, if we want the message here today to resonate on November 6th, we have to do more. We have to go out. We have to bring people with us and spread that message around. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Can we do that? All right. Let's have fun today. Thank you.
This weekend, the city of Somerville has joined Cambridge and other communities in officially changing the name of the holiday weekend to Indigenous Peoples Day. In Somerville, the idea for the change was sparked by a group of sixth graders from East Somerville Community School. They also addressed the opening ceremony.
Hi, my name is Renari. This is Sophia, Tristan, and Laosha. We are sixth graders from the East Somerville Community School, and we are also change makers. We are here today because a year ago, we learned about Columbus. For a long time, we thought he was a good guy, but we were wrong.
When we read more about him and what really happened, it changed our minds. We learned that Columbus and his men would mistreat the indigenous people. He enslaved, and if they didn't give him gold, he killed them. In 2 years since Columbus landed on the island of Hispaniola, him and his men killed over 100,000 people. This tells us that he was greedy and a cruel person. He didn't care about what he did to the indigenous people or what he was taking away from their land. The only thing he cared about was money.
We were confused because we didn't understand why Somerville wanted to celebrate someone who killed innocent people. Everyone in the class was really angry about this and wanted to change the holiday to Indigenous People's Day instead. We decided to write letters to the mayor of Somerville asking if we can change Columbus Day to Indigenous People's Day.
When the mayor read our letters, he agreed to change the holiday. This Monday, we will officially be celebrating Indigenous People's Day in Somerville. We feel like this proves that nothing is impossible when you stand up for what you believe in, no matter how old you are. Thank you for hearing us.
Of course, it's the bands that are the real joy of the day. This year, they came from across the continent, some bands as far away as Vancouver and San Francisco, and also Quebec and Brazil to add more of an international flavor. The Forward Marching Band has been attending for several years. They're from Madison, Wisconsin. Rockin' Charlie Barkin is from the Forward Marching Band.
I would say it's the people of Somerville. It's like this huge welcoming committee when we get here. They let us stay in their homes. We don't have to pay for expensive hotel rooms because we are musicians, you know. So it's such a great class, and everybody just is so friendly. And all the other musicians share their riffs. They share their style of music. They share their choreography, and everybody learns from everybody. It's like it's just a beautiful artistic community gathering together.
And what about the politics that's involved with this?
I think we're all pretty much on the same wavelength. You know, I would assume we are. I guess we're asked to keep politics out of honk, but since we're from Madison, it's obvious we're not going to. And I'll let you guess on which side of the fence we're on that. Okay, I won't give it away.
With Forward Marching Band?
Forward is a state of Wisconsin motto, and that's how the band got its name. And Miss Forward is that statue that sits on top of the cap in Madison, Wisconsin. So that's how the name came about.
Aaron is a freshman student at Boston University. He's only been in the Boston area for a little over a month. I asked him about his impressions of Hanukkah.
So, never hearing of it before, I'm surprised how large it is, and just like the variety of people who are here have come out to enjoy the music and the cause that it's for.
A celebration to counter all the anger that we've been experiencing for the last year and a half, and especially the last week and a half.
Absolutely.
How has that affected you?
So, I think like that's kind of adding to like the energy here. There's been so much like kind of pent up frustration because of what's been happening with the administration that like there's just like more energy than possibly would have been normally displayed, and it's just like people are just kind of letting go, letting loose, and just kind of like venting their anger, you know. Venting the anger in a joyous way. No, everyone's like happy and, you know, kind of not really carefree, but you know, they're enjoying themselves.
A band that made their first appearance at Honk was Unlawful Assembly from Minnesota.
Hey, Aisha, and I'm in the band Unlawful Assembly, and we come from Minneapolis, Minnesota.
So tell me, what is it about punk that makes you come all this way to be part of it?
It just seems like something really, like, surreal and, I don't know, like, wonderful. Like, just a celebration of music in the streets. Like, what could be better?
Yeah, it is kind of surreal. So what do you think of it so far?
I really, really love it. I got a chance to meet some of the other bands. Never seen so much, like, grass just in one place like this, you know?
And one more question. Unlawful Assembly, it's a great name. How'd you come up with that?
We started playing at a lot of actions in Minneapolis, and we were just brainstorming a lot of names. Since we're at protests, and the cops, when they tried to make it, like, this isn't a lawful assembly. And like, yeah, I really like it. It's been really good, I think. It's brought a lot of energy to our, like, Minneapolis actions. We worked with a lot of groups like MIRAC and Black Lives Matter and workers' rights, stuff like that. So it is really amazing.
Elaine is a Somerville resident who lives near Davis Square.
You want to be on WMBR, right?
I love WMBR. WMBR saves my life.
Cool. So what do you think of this scene invading your neighborhood?
I think it's fabulous, especially now when it's really easy to just be depressed. I mean, it's just what you need to sort of keep fighting.
It's a joyous cacophony.
It's awesome.
So the past week and a half had you somewhat upset?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I'm a sane human, so of course.
And this is a release from that?
Well, it's just really nice to be around like-minded people and still find reasons to celebrate.
This is the Leftist Marching Band from Portsmouth, New Hampshire, playing right in the middle of Elm Street, which was closed to vehicle traffic. The rest of the streets to Davis Square were open, though, and the Somerville police did a heck of a job keeping traffic flowing and people safe. Reporting from Davis Square, I am Chuck Rosina.
Chuck U. Rosina for that wonderful report on Honkfest 2018. And, well, at the beginning of that, we heard from Ward 6 Alderman Lance Davis, to be contrasted with WMFO's DJ, Lance Arthur Davis, who hosts the Grand Hour on Wednesdays from 6 a.m. to 7 a.m. And our Lance Arthur Davis plays radio dramas from the golden age of radio, mostly. And, well, they're a lot of fun to listen to. I generally, when I'm out walking around, running my errands, going places like Harvard Law School for their incredible Tuesday luncheon lectures, a different topic about internet and technology and society. Not every Tuesday. They have them during the academic year. But yeah, if you check out Berkman Klein Center, Harvard Berkman Klein Center, on the web. You'll get more information. And it's just an incredible thing where you just need to RSVP. You go there, and if you're into learning about technology and understanding how the law works, always a fascinating speaker. Well, interesting speaker. Not always fascinating. But, and you get a free lunch to boot. And that's how I often listen to WMFO radio shows, as podcasts, in fact, after the fact. But we've got a little bit less than half an hour left, and we're going to play you more music that matches our colors theme, our fall colors theme. And in the next set, we'll be hearing first from the electronic duo Goldfrapp, and then a little bit of Celtic music with the Voice Squad. One, my favorite Mexican, crazy Mexican genius arranger, composer, producer, Esquivel, Johnny Hyland. And, it's not a real deep cut from AC/DC, in the sense it's one of their popular songs, but it's a live alternate version. And we'll hear another Ohio Outdoor Notebook, and maybe a little bit more. But all that I mentioned is in store for you, starting right now, here on the Plastic Sushi.
Here we come.
Sound.
Down. As I walk down the road one fine summer's morning. Oh, the brown and the yellow ale, I met with a young man without any warning. Oh, love of my heart. He asked me if the woman by my side was my daughter. Oh, the brown and the yellow ale, when I said she's my wife, his manner didn't alter. Oh, love of my heart. He asked me if I'd lend her for an hour and a day. Oh, the brown and the yellow ale, I said if she thinks that's fine, you may take her away. Oh, love of my heart. Then you take the high road and I'll be off with her. Oh, the brown and the yellow ale, and I'll meet you again by the ford of the river. Oh, love of my heart. I waited by that ford for an hour and a quarter. Oh, the brown and the yellow ale, and when she came to me, 'twas without shame I saw her. Oh, love of my heart. When she told me her story, sure I lay down and died. Oh, the brown and the yellow ale, she sent two men for timber, and she never even cried. Oh, love of my heart. Aboard of Elder and aboard of Holly. She had never been a woman. Oh, the brown and the yellow ale, I would tell you many's another tale about women. Oh, love of my heart. Thank you.
again. 1, 2, 3, 4. And the whole place blew up.
I'm Josiah Wade, and this is the Ohio Outdoor Notebook. If you're a camera buff, autumn is a great time to bring your creative side into focus. ODNR photographer Mike Williams tells us how to capture some great fall photos.
The nicest thing about October is that the air is usually clear, so you can see better distances. Seeing that distance, and with the advent of fall color, getting a little elevation to see a good long way is always an excellent way to capture fall colors. Shooting in the early morning is always good when the air is still really clear, and in the late afternoon is very good. Both times a day, the light takes on a golden quality. Ohio in October is beautiful. The weather is usually good. Spend a tank of gas on a weekend and go travel whenever you can. There's a lot of beautiful places to go.
This is a public service of the Ohio Department of Natural Resources and this station.
You've been listening to the Plastic Sushi Strawberries in Time Sound Collage. That's right. It's not just a radio program. It's a genre-jumping sound collage with audio clips from political speeches, from TV shows, from movies, from messages left on people's answering machines, even when we had them. And I think we've had a show for you this evening that certainly touched a lot of bases, revolving around our theme of fall colors. Well, let me go over what we heard in that last set. We started off with Goldfrapp and a triple hit, I would say, on our theme. Yes, Goldfrapp with a song called Crystalline Green from their Black Cherry album. And then we heard from The Voice Squad, The Brown and Yellow Ale. Good heavens, what a story that was. And then Esquivel, my favorite Mexican genius, composer, producer, arranger. My Blue Heaven was the name of that, from Music from a Sparkling Planet. And my thanks go out to DJ Easy Ed for turning me on to that song, that whole album, in fact. And then we heard from Johnny Hyland. Boy, he sure knows how to pick and play his guitar. That was Orange Blossom Special. And then we heard a live version of AC/DC's iconic hit song, Back in Black. And I found that on AC/DC Live. They're kind of, well, their basic live album of the biggest hits. And I think these days, I like all of the, Vaults. Vaults, I like. It's not quite a live album, but it's raw like a live album. And it has all these versions of their songs before they figured out the way they really wanted them to sound. So the lyrics are different. The riffs are kind of different. That's my... And then there's that whole AC/DC back catalog. Yes, okay. Well, in any case, yeah, thanks to Chuck Yu for that Honkfest report. Another one of our full features this evening. And thanks for listening to my pilot parody for Somerville and Medford op-ed piece that you can find at thetuftsdaily.com if you want to check it out to see exactly what I said, or more importantly, check out some of those sources, 13 different sources that they made me track down and link to for you. And I just want to say that, you know, it's October 12th now. The fall colors are underway. We're not quite at the peak, but these are truly, as long as it's not raining, some of the most beautiful days of the year for those of us living here in New England. And now's a great time to go out and walk where you want to go, ride your bike, go along the Mystic River Reservation if you happen to live near there, but all of these other parks and places. Just get outside and enjoy these most spectacular days of the year. Yes, this has been a public service message from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Community Radio. Backing me up right now is Sun Ra and his orchestra, and this is a song called Blue Set. And I'm going to let that play out just a little bit more before, well, neither Chase Carson, no, he's not a DJ here anymore, unfortunately. He's not coming up next with a time tunnel, nor is Savoir Faire with songs from the Squid Pod, because he's out